Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm going to have a panic attack again.
Oh, well, you're going to have to start it because I'm eating and drinking here.
Hello, everyone. It's so different to you. How are you, lads? I'm Carly, but welcome back to the That's What I Heard podcast with myself, Sean Phipps.
And myself, Carly Mahady.
We just want to say a huge thank you. We can finally actually put it out there that we actually know some listeners and downloads and whatnot, and it's going very well, and we're very happy with where we have been so far, given the fact that it is only our first podcast and we're still finding our feet. So for myself and Carly, a huge thank you, and producer Rain for helping us
put
one foot in front of the other, even if you can't remember half the podcast that he's editing. But, still. But this week's episode, we have a lovely friend of ours, Paige Behan.
Hi guys.
Who
it's good to
is
be here.
Going to be touching on basically the Pride podcast, lads.
Happy Pride, everyone. Happy Pride month.
Now, Pride is over. I hope you had a ball and you're still dying when you're listening to this, because it's not going to be released next week. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's really it. And I don't really know what to say after this. So, if someone could help me, that would be great.
So, if you want me to just jump in and just kind of introduce myself. My name is Paige Behan. I've worked in the George for about 6 years. I know.
You definitely all know her now.
I know Carly and Sean for a long time. And I said I'd jump onto this podcast and kind of talk about myself as being trans and intersex, considering it's a Pride episode, and touch base on a few things that like would normally be kind of showcased and shared on normal platforms, such as different podcasts. I haven't actually heard anything about trans issues or anything to do with kind of Pride. Everyone jumps on the bandwagon for Pride, but yeah, thought I'd come on. And
we're absolutely buzzing to hear your experience.
Say because
do you know what? As many times as we have drank and been out and being absolute little brats together.
Yeah.
I've never even touched on the topic.
No,
like Carly put it in. She's like, Paige is coming on to the podcast. She's like, it's about Pride. And she's like, Paige is like intersex. What is like intersex? Like if you can break it down. So
I would kind of basically say I'm trans for the simple fact that like I don't, it means like I don't have to explain it to people what intersex is. But basically I was born as male, categorized as male at birth. And when I turned 16, I got really sick. So I was getting heartburn. I was getting heartburn an awful lot, and like I was getting dizzy and stuff all the time, didn't know what was going on. Going to my GP was doing loads of tests, went for an ultrasound, and turns out I have an ovary. So I was born with a disorder of sexual development, or hermaphroditism is what it's
so like both
like both yeah but it comes in it, it's a spectrum basically, right. So like some people can be born with both sets of genitalia, or some people can be born
that was
with,
my question yeah. So it, this was inward in you, this wasn't it
wasn't
in
outward
right
yeah
okay.
So basically I never developed an Adam's apple, my voice never dropped, never grew body hair, kind of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Penny off me therapy.
Love that.
But yeah, so I was basically given the option at 16 whether I wanted to have my ovary removed and go on testosterone and start a transition. Not really a transition, but to kind of develop more as male.
Right, okay.
But it was illegal in Ireland to start hormone replacement therapy for cross-sex at the time.
Right.
So I couldn't start hormone replacement therapy at 16 because it was illegal in Ireland.
Right, okay.
And like, what was the whole thing illegal? Like, was it dangerous to do?
Considered a child, realistically.
I'm considered underage. So I met a bodybuilder on Grindr. I swear.
Here we go. Okay, off we go.
Straight in, no kissing. He was selling me estrogen, injectable estrogen.
No, you're on the black market.
Now, in hindsight, guys, the worst thing that could have ever been done in my entire life. But yeah, was injecting estrogen into me like every 2 weeks. Had no clue about the dosage. Didn't know what I was doing whatsoever.
Since when you were 16?
This is when I was 16. And
oh God, anybody starting their journey, by the way, can we just definitely highlight that? Do not try this at home, guys, is what we're saying.
Thing I ever could have done. But like injecting estrogen, all I was doing was raising my testosterone to cancel out that estrogen. So it never really did anything for me, only gave me a blood clot. So,
oh, Jesus Christ. Know. It was like battling each other, basically. Yeah.
100%. It was just pure contradicting each other. Then when I turned 18, I started a testosterone blocker and went on estrogen and haven't really looked back since. I'm sitting here about two lashes on my face now.
Like Yzmer from Prank's New Group.
But come here to me. So when you went about transitioning correctly, realistically, did you explain to your doctor, like, look, a man's been taking this estrogen? Were they able to tell by your blood levels? Did they pull you up on it?
But see, like, when I was forced going through all the tests before everything came out, my estrogen was quite high. And my doctor asked my mum, was I buying anything online? Because but this was before I started taking estrogen.
Yeah.
But the doctor was like, is she taking the pill? Or is he taking the pill or anything like that? My mum was like, not that I'm aware of. I wasn't. My estrogen was just naturally high at the time. So that kind of sparked an interest for more kind of in-depth testing towards what was going on.
And how bizarre was that to you to turn around? Yeah. So you're having these problems within yourself, and like you said, you were having the headaches and all the whole lot, and you didn't know what was wrong with you. Were you not baffled when they turned around to you and said, oh, Paige, do you actually have an ovary?
Not really.
Did you have a feeling?
It wasn't that I had a feeling, but it was just like, it felt like something kind of made sense in the back of my mind. And like, to be fair, I'd never met anyone that was trans, never even seen a drag queen at 16 years of age. So I didn't know what that was.
Now, would you have been a feminine boy? Said? Right.
My mum always said I was effeminate, not camp. Do you know what I mean? Right. There's a difference.
Okay. Right.
So yeah, I don't know. Like I started my transition not knowing what the f*** was going on, to be honest with you. And like for years, I felt like a man in a dress. Like when I was transitioning, I felt like what I was doing was really wrong. Do you know that kind of way?
Because that shame is embedded in people regardless. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And especially like the areas, you're from Crumlin, you're from things, it's not from Ballyfermot.
First of all, before you go any further, I'm not from Crumlin.
So I'm driven to represent.
Jesus.
And it's not the same, all right? So yeah, I'm not. I'm from Drim.
Is there all the Stones Trouts and Sundrive Drove though?
Yeah.
What?
Sundrive.
You don't win this, everyone thinks.
Or Castellos. When you went to Crumlin, or Castellos.
Right. Yeah, the one. Right. But yeah, no, as you were saying, from Ballyfermot.
But yeah, there's like that undertone of uneducation. Like, it's not closed-mindedness, it's not people trying to be, it's just pure and utter, like, they just don't get it. Curiosity of people.
Yeah.
It's great, I love it. But, like, there is some people that want to kind of know what the gossip is and know what the tea is for the sole fact to have that kind of against you, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's more so, yeah, it's like a manipulative thing, sort of wanting to figure out your business rather than being actually interested in it. Like, I remember the first time we met, I was riddled with cancer. I was needy, but that stage, remember, I had no hair. We went back to Blaine's party. Blaine.
And you're walking around with the drain?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you were chasing our lynch, remember? Yeah. In the room. They were like, yeah, the thing was leaking to bits.
But I had no hair at this stage when I first met Paige. So we were sitting in the sitting room. Do you remember, like, a load of random people had came in, and me and you were literally up to ear, neck and a heart to heart. I was explaining my situation. Yeah, you were telling me about your situation, and I just remember being so fascinated. Like, I was amazed by it all. And obviously then we had gotten into conversations about how you deal with that in your personal life and so on. But I just, obviously, I had heard, because you get the word tranny thrown around, and you get the word this, that, and do you know this type of thing thrown around, and people then get mixed up, and then they're like, oh, there's cross-dressing, oh, there's drag queens. Like, people don't know the actual meaning of trans or the actual meaning of intersex. So you're only after educating me there now. I'm only after learning properly.
No, literally, I'm like,
I thought intersex was when it was an outwardly thing and you're born with the two genitalia. Yeah. I wasn't aware that you are considered intersex because you had an ovary. Yeah. So I'm so, like, you're educating the children right now.
After Lyra. No. But like, yeah, but like, even when it comes to like that word tranny being thrown around, for instance, like sometimes I don't really, like, you can't really blame people for saying something like that because they think it's okay because they've never been pulled
they're
up
not educated. They're not didn't grow up around anybody like that or been in that situation. Yeah.
So it is one of them things. And even when it comes to it, like, personal life and stuff like that, like, when I first started to transition, I thought being a woman was like looking as feminine as possible, acting as feminine as possible, trying to come off in certain ways as the most feminine person that you can be. But like, I remember waking up this morning, like, I'm transitioning nearly 7 years. Yeah. And it took me, only last year, I woke up and I sat in the bed and I was like, I'd walk down the road in a nip. Does not bother me. That does not make me any less of a woman. No. I can have my hair in a bun. I have two lashes on my face, as I said, not a screen of makeup on. I'm in a tracksuit at the minute. Me presenting myself in a certain way does not make me any less feminine or any less female. No. Whatsoever.
No. Paige, you exude more femininity than me, and I don't mean that as in, you know what I'm saying.
No.
You, I look at you and I'm like, she's so, like, you're just a woman, and you exude, and I said this from the moment I met you, sexuality. Yeah. You're a real sexual kind of being. Like, I said that from the time I met you. I was like,
Everyone says it.
Like, there's just something about you that's around you. Like, you exude femininity.
But you know what it is as well? Like, a certain part of me loves doing that for the simple fact that, like, I meet, let's say, fellas, like, if I'm on a night out and done up to nine, and you're out and you're at a bar and someone tries to chat you up and they're buying you drinks, like, I'm not going to tell them in that moment that, like, oh, here, by the way, I spent 16 years of my life as a bloke. None of their business.
Yeah. No.
But there's always that, like, let's say, for instance, I go on a night out and I'm chatting with a fella. I could show that fella how, like, smart, funny, crack mental I am.
Yeah.
The second I say something like that, everything goes out the window. They completely forget everything that I've been saying for the last half an hour.
It's like you're just putting a corner all your life.
Yeah.
Literally.
But then,
and even,
like,
at that, like, you're just still afraid to say anything because, like, I'm just going to ruin my moment.
Yeah.
And if that did happen, you're like, I'm about to happen a ball.
Yeah.
And now I'm just an idiot. Like, but it's really, like, that's not the case at all.
But then, like, stupid things that, like, that they say in their head, and they're like, oh, like, does that make me gay for being attracted to you? Or it's like, no, you're attracted to me because you see it.
Because,
like,
you've seen who I was.
You've seen who I was. Like, I don't.
Here's my blossom. My authentic self is who you're seeing.
My authentic self.
Like, there you go. That's what it is. But
yeah.
That's, like, just so horrible, though. Like, imagine you're, like, just having a conversation with someone. You're genuinely bouncing off them. You know yourself when you have even a connection with someone you've just met. And you know if it could, like, kind of come to fruition and be a bigger thing. And things are going great. And then you turn around and tell them something that's essentially a huge part about you. And then they're like, I know, keep it.
Mm.
Like, so you're going, like, to deny that genuine, like, you're going to deny that genuine connection just because, like, I don't understand why people are like that.
But you know what it is as well? Like, I don't think it's the people themselves sometimes. So, like, 99% of the fellas I meet do not have a problem themselves with me being trans, intersex. It's mainly what other people think. It's what their friends and family think.
Yeah.
What are my mates going to say? I'm going to give you an example. I was seeing a fella there for a while. Friends and family didn't know I was trans, and then all of a sudden I went out one night and one of the girls, I told one of his friends' girlfriends when I was in the toilet of a pub, and the next day the lads' WhatsApp group, they were saying awful things about me, all his mates. Horrible things about me. If you're bored, you see a fella.
Oh,
you know, stuff like that. And for me to lie in bed beside him and look at him reading these messages in a WhatsApp group and not standing up for me was the absolute boiling point for me.
Yeah.
Like, it's, but it really is, like, it's, they're too concerned about, like, their friends closing their front doors and talking about them to their to their family and being like, oh, did you hear him over him around the corner was going out with such and such and on. Who actually gives a about anyone else's life and what they do? Like, if you want to be happy, be my guest, be happy.
Yeah.
But don't try and sugarcoat it to me and say, well, I'm not telling my friends and family just to kind of, for you. You've done that for yourself. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah.
There's always that little undertone of transphobia, even with people that want to understand it.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the main part. If they can't understand it there and then, they're never going to understand it.
I feel,
and if
weird,
they did, they've, like, already, they've already burnt a bridge with you there and then anyway.
Like, life isn't that hard. Like,
it's not.
I have trans friends that are going through transition and that have fully transitioned. Mm. And, like, that, look at him with that bloke. Just because someone had no interest in you, you have to go and attack something so personal within them. You couldn't just say, oh, look, he's either going for someone else. It's poxy. No, look at that bloke. Look where I'm going. I'll never forget years ago. There was, remember the Rye venue?
Yeah.
Smell
there
the carpet.
Was, disgusting.
It's not as bad as Diva, but just as well off the carpet.
But there was a
picture. That carpet's sticky in Diva, though.
No, absolutely. The floor is lava.
No,
the floor is lava.
But there was a picture in the Rye venue years ago, and it was the photographer had taken it, and it went onto the Facebook page, and it was of a straight lad kissing a trans girl. The comments underneath that, I couldn't even repeat it back. It was disgusting. And at that, it actually was long enough. It was probably about, just when you started transitioning, probably about 7 or 8 years ago. And this wasn't widely accepted. This was seen as, like, as alien. Do you know what I'm saying? So people really went hell for leather underneath that. I will never forget the abuse. And it's just like, although something is peculiar to you, why would you feel the need to so passionately go against something. Like, what's in you? Why are you so spooky about that? Like, is there something that's hitting a nerve with you?
That's 100%.
Is what's going on there? Why are you so angry for?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Is that your little suppressed emotion someone's after twiddling their finger over?
Yeah.
That's what I often find. And like that, me and Paige was only saying in the car on the way up here just before we got you. It's always the straightest of the straight. Mm-hmm. It's always the men with full ass families and children. Let us have it, because this is the problem.
So I started seeing a fella just before COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, a little bit older than me, has a child, comes from one of the areas that I mentioned that you're from. Not going to go any deeper. But seeing him before COVID, big, huge thing. So, I don't know, the two of us ended up having more. I stopped really talking for a little while because it wasn't working, and I ended up seeing someone else. But the only reason I get into a relationship with that other person after him was just to just get over him. So, a couple of months ago, we split up from my last relationship. Me and him got back talking again. Now, when I mean like us going out with each other, it was basically just like him collecting me, us going for a little bit of food in the car, sitting up at a viewpoint, you know, stupid stuff like that. But then we kind of start like going out for dinner and stuff. But it was always, remember me and you, the back ass darkest pub in the back of Killiney, where nobody can see it.
Can we have the table in the corner, please?
Yeah, don't hold my hand. Who are you? So yeah, it was like that. But there, my birthday was last week. Decided to go down the country. Down the country now, I mean, playing happy families, me going into this log cabin, changing the bedclothes. I'm a FaceTime to you.
Like, this is fucking muffa going around the gas, and like, yes, this is my house.
But then on FaceTime to you, then you were like, show me. So here I am trying to angle myself in certain ways on FaceTime so you could bleed and see if I was there. But
imagine you even having to do that, is what ridiculous. I'm saying. But like, imagine trying to sit myself a certain way so you can see who I'm with. That person should be up singing and dancing that you're spending time with them in the first place, not fucking hiding in the background of a poxy picture.
But like, literally, what was even worse is that like we were in the back arse of like Wexford Arklow, and like the two of us going shopping, get a few bits in, literally playing Mammies and Daddies. That's my thing in my head.
Yeah.
Like, doing everything together, like, we went sea swimming and all. Like, we literally spent nearly 4 days together, just the two of us, weren't even around anyone else. And it was amazing. And then the Tuesday night, two of us are lying there in bed roaring crying because we didn't want it to end. But yeah, that's not my problem. Like,
and I, that's couldn't have said it any fucking better. Yeah. That's not your problem.
But that is something that I'm always going to have to, like,
consider.
Because, like, at the end of the day, I am trans intersex. So, like, I can't run away from that. I just have to embrace that. But it's always going to be a topic of conversation.
But that's such a gorgeous part of you. Like, it's obviously not your full personality, because anybody that knows you has personality for days and days.
She's actually not being as witty as she is right now, and I'm really loving it.
She's being very responsible. Paige is a force, to be honest with you, of a person, and that is, it's a part of you, but it's a minuscule part of you. It shouldn't be a deciding factor in somebody wanting to progress in a relationship with you. And like, these people should realise they're lucky enough to have the opportunity to be around it in the first place. So why they don't embrace that is just a little bit strange to me. If it's
Saying that as well, like, there's an awful lot about myself that, like, I don't even know yet. Like, I was talking to Maddie today, and when I started my transition, like, I went to bed one night in a vest top, and I woke up and me diddy was in the kitchen making breakfast. Like, I had a set of bills that literally grew overnight, and here I am, it's down there butter and a slice of toast. Like, so like, it's things like that, like, that I still don't know about myself. Like, it's that kind of funny journey. Like, and even with hormone replacement therapy, like, I made a cup of tea the other day and I put the milk in the press, and my ma's following me around. I'm wrapping
would it be like chemo, Brian?
Similar enough. I seen actually on TikTok, there's a lad that I follow, I forget his name, he's from Ireland, he's from the country, and he was saying that ever since he started transitioning and ever since he's on hormones, he's like, lads, I didn't have the best brain in the world before, he said, but it's like, I can't hold concentration to that, and I can't remember anything.
Carly,
oh, that sounds like me.
I watched a 3.5 minute video of a dog with three legs the other day, and I was
not laughing at that.
That's because in the back of your head you're really a vet, just letting everyone else, is a veterinarian.
But I was vocally crying, like howling in my room. My mum was like, are you all right? I was like, mum, watch this video, please. Like, very bad.
So, yeah.
Did you cry when you see me with one leg?
Yeah, I cried. Well, no, I cried and I seen your ankle go.
The video of the dog was of you. It was you. You were the dog.
God.
I've only three legs left. Jesus. I want to keep them going.
But, no, it must be bizarre for you like that, between your emotions being all over the place, probably your brain not being 100%. So, I probably just feel fucking all over the shop.
But you were still in school when this was happening, were you?
Yeah, I went to an all-boys school from 4th year to 3rd year. After my junior.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And Drimna
Castle I went to.
Oh.
Yeah. God. So, like...
No, I'm OLM. I'm not Drimna.
Oh.
Here we go.
So how was your experience in secondary school going through?
Yeah, I want to know if it was the same as mine.
Well, like, from force of torture, like, the school I went to was awful. Like, they used to throw tennis balls down corridors to people, throwing their bags inside out. I was locked in a room for a half an hour in Jim Castle in the woodwork room. Here's me, like, storing out all the wood and all, because I was like, they'll let me out eventually, like, you
know. Mrs. Hinch in the woodwork room.
Me, spreads the floor all over the gap. But, like, it was that kind of thing. And, like, when I left the all-boys school and started to transition, I skipped fourth year and went to fifth year in, like, a disadvantaged area school, Cymer College. Okay. And
just calling them
was
all
that mixed or no, was
it's a dash skill, yeah, a mixed skill,
right?
But I'm telling you now, the last 2 years of school were the best 2 years. Like, I walked in there in fifth year, and like, nobody, like, I knew people because they were from my area and yeah. stuff, but everyone was so nice, so kind, so accepting, so nurturing. The teachers were great, everything was just so much better.
And you never hear things like that. Usually you always hear of people struggling, so it's lovely
had
to hear
a great
that.
Time like,
so great it, was like time. It was like you only started school in fifth year.
Yeah.
The way you wanted it.
Oh
to
yeah
be,
and
like,
I loved it last year.
And you loved it then.
I've shivers that made me really happy.
And imagine if the fourth, second and third year had been in that school. Imagine what else you could have done. Imagine
yeah. Fire like, element.
I probably would have transitioned a bit earlier. Would like you? You know,
straight out of the room. Hello, I'm ready.
It's yeah.
me. No.
Yeah. Me with a better set of lashes out of the womb than I do now.
Like, were you like me? I know in school, like, don't get me wrong, I'm like class clown, but this is like my safety net. Mm. Like, I'm like, if someone's laughing at me, I'm like, right, grand. I'm like, they're actually normally the ones that swing abuse, but they haven't abused me in about a week. Yeah. So I'm like, if I literally just do something funny, they're just not gonna. This is what I done in school, like, do you get me?
Yeah.
That's my safety net. Like, don't get me wrong, like, I knew everyone and talked to everyone, but I was like, I know it's gonna get hurdled eventually.
Yeah.
But I actually wasn't that bad in school. Like, it was more or less like outside of school, the lads that we. Hands of coke to go down the road, and I was like, I'm not turning around to fight you because I physically can't.
Yeah,
I was like, but the only safety net is me is just being like a little class clown, like, and just being people pleaser. Because I'm like, if I wasn't that, I was like, I probably would absolutely just be depressed out of nugget.
And did you have a really bad experience in secondary school?
No,
or?
Like, and again, like, because I was like people pleasing and being the class clown, it's not the same that I do it now, like, I do it for me now. Do you get me? Like, and I know who I am now, and I love that, but like. I think the sports helped that I was growing up in football, like, and I had basketball as well. Like,
yeah.
That kind of helped as well in a way.
You
like,
had your masculine side.
That's
what it was.
Did you not find that the people that, like, had stuff to say about you and the people that bullied you?
The ones now, and now, like, if they're on a night out, they're like, me Matt loves you, will you get a photo with
or
me?
Or else
like,
it's 3 in the morning and you're getting a message.
Oh. No, literally.
I work in the George.
Ones I get.
And the ones that used to bully me in school, I'm saving over the bar, and I'm like,
yeah, and they're all
bully.
Winking at
it's
you. Yeah.
Mental.
Like, look with the catch right.
Some of them, yeah, a few of them. But like, no, you definitely have a way more because you're in the George as well. Especially so if anyone's coming out, like, we're going to go to George, where else is it, Phil? Like, some of them did be popping up on Grindr as a blank one. They were like, if I could, I would. But you know, all my friends. I was like, oh my God, you're probably hot. I was like, hey, where are you? Please just let me know.
I reckon that you'll get this as much as I do. Like, I have, 290 something message requests on my Instagram that are just from married men, men that have kids, and men that like are friends with like my man Dan or like stuff like that.
Jesus
like
Christ.
There was a fella that owns a gym. I'm not going to say what gym it is. I'm not going to say where it is. But he's married and has kids and was like hocking my phone out on Instagram, blocked him on Instagram, hocking my phone out on Messenger. And he sent me a friend request on Snapchat and sent me a video of him driving by my house and zooming in at my front door.
Do you know that's harassment?
No. 100% harassment.
I'm just letting you know.
Annalise Keaton here from those Getaway with Murder.
Section 16.
That's so weird. I literally bought her book yesterday, Viola Davis. I was watching her Oprah thing and I was
amazing.
Crying. What?
She's amazing.
She used to have rats eating her neck when she was younger. She was poor and all. It was awful. I was like, this is. So I was like, here, my 10 goes for you. I was like, in your big, lovely mansion and all your millions now.
God.
Love you. But yeah, anywho.
But yeah.
So it went from harassment to Viola Davis, which is lovely.
It's
a nice contrast.
Nice
you brought it in, hon.
Oh, okay.
These kind of fellas would be the ones that would like. I remember about 4 years ago, I was getting the bus into work. Standing at a bus stop in Cherry Orchard now, strike one, like the neck of me standing at a bus stop in Cherry Orchard past 8 o'clock, you get a black cat.
I was thinking of an actual black cat just getting flung at my head.
No, a viral.
Like Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
But like an Opel Corsa pulled up and it car fully unfless. But like fellas that like are from my area, you know the lads kind of thing. Shouting abuse out the window, tranny, he, she, lady, by the whole lot. But 4 out of 5 of them in the car texted me that night. Hey, what's the story?
That's our producer.
The producer and all laughing
at me. Hello, John. I'd been going through anything and I'd have been like, there you are.
3 in the morning. Hey, do you want to go for a walk?
3 or 4 in the morning.
Hey, do you want to go for a walk? That wasn't me. That was me mates. Like, apologies and
stuff
like
course.
That. But, like,
Did you go for the walk?
No, I screenshot everything. I said, you messaged me or my family one more time. Then I'm telling you.
I'd be out now if it was me. I would be out and everybody. I'd be like, if you want to give me abuse, I really will destroy your life. So here we are.
But that's the only thing that I can like really do is like have that as a fallback. My mad is saying to me, that's real dangerous. Don't threaten anyone with screenshots or like that.
My mad's like that. Why are you like that?
Like, I don't know.
It's like, no. I feel like that's the way I grew up, just to be that class. Yeah, it's just like, look, if you get through school doing what you have to do. And I was like, no, maybe if I didn't have to do it, I concentrated, I could have done what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Didn't really know what I wanted to do, but yeah, still.
But like, the first thing that you'll hear any Irish older person or parent say, right, like my ma used to always say to me, because the speculation around me being a lesbian is just heavy. Everybody thinks I'm gay.
You're the biggest fag hag.
I'm a lesbian woman trapped in a straight woman's body.
You
I am. Like, everybody... I'm hanging around. I went used to go to War, the Dragon. Like, I always felt so accepted and so happy in the LGBTQIA plus community. Jesus Christ, plus, and plus, that plus, choking plus. And that plus. I always felt so accepted there, and because I danced growing up, I would have been friends with a lot of gay males. They were older than me, so I always ended up in these sort of spaces.
Yeah.
And I idolised it. I was never judged. Nobody ever stood in a corner looking you up and down if you're tumbling around the floors. It was a great place to be, and because I knew my friends were safe and happy themselves, it made it so much easier to enjoy yourselves when we were together.
And come here, for everyone listening, like, see the way Carly just said tumbling around, like, she's like a freestyle dancer, she's doing illusions and all, like, in every night club.
I have me on spot, legs on the stage,
head, like, I like, honest,
but it makes me so happy that I can carry on like that, because that is what I'm like. I'm out there, but say if I carried on like that in 22, there'd be young ones throwing their elbows into your back and pouring drinks on you and all. Like, people don't like that in stray spaces, because people is all competing for each other's attention. It isn't like that. Well, for me, it's not like that in the gay spaces, because I'm not trying to catch anybody's attention. I'm just there to enjoy my time with my friends.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
But do you not think lately, like in gay spaces and in safe spaces, and that I think straight men have figured out that like straight women are going to these gay spaces to get away from men attention.
It's become
a thing where like I've been walking, there'll be some fella in the corner and they're like, you out, because like you're literally here trying to harass women. Do you know what I mean?
And you're also intimidating the people that belong here.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I've seen an article one time and actually got really upset over it. I got really disheartened. And it was straight people destroying gay places, nightclubs, places to be in on. But see, like, hen parties coming in and swinging out drag queens and pulling at them and being like, oh my God, he's real gay. Yeah. See him beside us. He's their little gay friend. That's not fair.
Like, we, like, in the George, like, we have a policy. Like, we don't accept hen parties or stag parties. And if we do, now, on the off chance, if it's a regular customer, we might. But there's no hen party paraphernalia. Like, no veils, no sashes, really straws around like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, nine times out of ten, you have these women that come in and they watch one episode of RuPaul's Drag Race and they come in, they're like, yes. And they're like, hang on for a minute. This isn't somewhere that you need to be coming in and ogling at people and, like, trying to have this persona. You're in a bar. Respect the people around you. This is a space for everyone. It's inclusive. You're lucky you're here.
You're blessed you are let in the first place. But that's what I mean. And I'm so glad that I am accepted in these spaces that I do be with my friends, because I don't carry on like that. I don't be swinging out of people, climbing up the drag queens, back in a picture, get my son, come here, it's me. Like, it's all very much, like, just carry yourself.
Down and just
yes, aren't something to be looked at and pointed at and poked at, like, are people,
you know, the people that are like, oh my God, I have an uncle that's gay, or
Jesus, like, do you know him, he's from Longford, like,
don't want to know about your auntie's dog walker's parakeet, like makes no sense to me.
So I am curious to know when it first became apparent to you that you were a little bit different and you thought you might have been gay.
I'd say 15, like. Yeah.
I thought you would have... No, honestly, like, personally, I thought you would have known from younger. Did you not have an idea from when you were younger?
I probably was like, no, I have a girlfriend and I kiss her and that's all I do.
But that actual thought never entered your head until you were about 15?
No, probably until, about 15.
Wow.
I know. Then I was like, oh, how do I do this? Because it is a real thing. You're like, oh my God, if I say this to me, ma. Because the way I look at it is, like, you come out of the womb and whoever's around you, like, me ma's the first, like, woman to ever love me for me, regardless. So, like, you're thinking, like, what if I say something that's going to break her heart? However, I kind of knew it would be accepting, but it's not like that for everyone. And you know what I mean? Like, people don't have that happy place to go to. Me brother and me dad, best things ever. The two first men to love me. Do you get me kind of
you
thing?
You are blessed.
So I was blessed, but not everyone is. So if you're listening to me, basically go to a happy place and you know where everything is going to be good for, and then go from there and keep them there in the background and have them there with you if you feel so uncomfortable that you know they won't accept you, kind of thing.
Do you have any advice for anybody that probably wouldn't have such an accepting family like do you?
Like, I just, like, just find your happy place in people and, like, just do you. Like, the friends I have, you, for instance, like, all them, like, yous are my happy place and yous are my comfort zone and my safety net and blanket.
That's a huge thing.
If that's them, by all means, stick to them. Tell all them your problems, what you want to go through. Mm. List out the pros and cons of what may happen from going forward with this, and then all you can do is move forward with it. Not every family is perfect. Yeah. There is toxic families. I know everyone says, look after man, look after that. That's not the point, and that's not
completely
that's not
agree
it.
With
do you get me?
Well, people have this whole mentality like blood is thicker than water kind of thing, but like,
it's not.
If your family don't accept you, like, they're like, Jesus, like, where I walk, everyone that I walk with is basically like my second family.
Yeah.
So like, if your family don't necessarily
you see them more
you,
than you see your family.
Yeah, that's
everyone,
very true.
And Nisha's also much of you listening as well, by the way. It's been weeks. But yeah, no, literally find your safety blanket, find the people that make you feel your authentic, lovely self that you're put on the planet to be. Go from there and then just see where it pans out.
You're not going to be able to please everyone, and not everyone is going to accept you for what you stand for or who you are as a person. But it's like, do you remember when you were in school and like you thought when you were in school, oh my God, is this what life is? Is this what life is going to be?
Yeah.
And then you finish school and it's completely different to what you actually thought it was going to be.
You're like, actually open into the big bad world. Everything I learned in school is right.
Yeah, like, why didn't I learn business? I don't know what a tracker mortgage is, but no, yeah, literally. I know how to solve X. Like, that makes no sense.
40 grand from the credit union. No problem. Yeah, can't balance it out.
But like once you're out there, like, you meet so many different diverse people and it opens up your mind an awful lot more. If you're not liked in one regard, you will be liked in another. You have to be your authentic self, because to be honest with you, if I hadn't transitioned at 16, I would have transitioned in my 40s and 50s, but like, that would have been 30 years of me being very unhappy as a person. It was inevitable that I was going to transition anyway,
mm-hmm.
but the sooner I did, I was kind of better off. But like, there's no point suppressing how you feel just because you're afraid that you're going to like hurt someone else's feelings, or you're going to put other people in positions that they're not going to like you.
And did you obviously transition sooner? Because like I said, my mum and dad and my brother are like my support system. Like, is that why? Because you, like, you felt so open to them and they loved you, like, kind of thing? Like, and you knew that they would accept it? Or
I'm going to say something that like I don't think I've actually ever said to a lot of people, but like, you know, small little things. Like, so like when girls grow up and they go through that like little teenage phase, like they learn like, how to like do her hair and all. Like, I had to learn that at 16. I didn't know how to shave my legs when I was 16, and I stood in my bath and my mom shaved my legs when I was 16 to show me how to shave my legs. It was little things like being able to like do little feminine things, like being able to paint my nails, and like I make a joke with my man. I'm like, Jesus, I started using conditioner and now I'm a woman. Like, it started off as like shampoo, and then I use shampoo and conditioner, and now I'm a woman. Like,
you stopped, you know, using the 7-in-1.
Started using a little hair treatment then, but like, it was small things that like
sorry, I'm like trying to put all the 7-in-1 ingredients in your head. I was like, what did I do now?
It's oil for your car. Yeah, antifreeze.
Just go to a fella's house and open the door to show you'll find the 7-in-1. Trust me.
And some of our board's lashes. Sorry, we got a little.
Got a bit sidetracked there.
I really enjoyed that, to be honest.
It was just small things that I felt like women that like were categorised as women from birth got to learn. I felt like I missed out on all that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, my ma, Jesus, like, she's the most supportive person ever. I have a tattoo on the back of my neck of the chemical structure of estrogen that my mom gave me the idea of getting, so I never forget to take my hormones. Every 6 months I have an appointment in the hormone clinic, and they literally,
and
like,
you're into. So if he's on a Revolut page, let's
no idea. It cost me a fortune. It's basically like having a car and having a mortgage at the same time, yeah, just to pay for hormones. But I go to this clinic every 6 months. They give me titties a little feel. They measure me waist, measure me hips, weigh me, check me blood pressure. And it's the most horrible thing ever. But my mom is dragging me by the hair out of bed at 6 a.m, being like, right, we need to go. She brings me. She shows up to all the appointments. She like is the one that like is by my side the most. And I'm so, 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 so grateful for that woman. Like, she does absolutely everything for me. And it's, yeah, it makes me a little bit upset even talking about it.
No, I'm literally.
So what we're saying is, if you don't have the privilege to have a Mama P or Mama B, find your Mama P and Mama B in someone. Hold on to them. Keep them there for as long as possible. Mm. And just, they'll help you grow and be you.
Go where you celebrate it. Why are we fighting to force people to love us for who we are? Why do we chase people that don't love us authentically? Like, love isn't supposed to be difficult, whether it be in a family setting or whether it be in a friendship, mm-hmm, or a relationship. If someone is supposed to love you, they will love you fully as you are. So that's what I mean by go where you're celebrated. Like, yeah, people will take you as you are. Yeah. It's not always going to be a case that people are going to fight you on what you want to be.
Oh, yeah, no, I've literally only learned that, like, about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, remember when I, like, started Instagram and I'd be sending them to Alison, someone, the messages, and she's like, Sean, I don't need you to keep sending me these to let me know how amazing you are. I know this. And I was like, I'm just letting you know that this is what they're sending me. She's like, and you probably have hundreds after that, which I do. And she sent me them one day and she was like, I have 3 things I want to teach you. Can't remember what they are, but she taught me them and she's happy and has a little checklist. But I just feel like I've kept running, but my feet stopped moving now. Do you get me?
Yeah.
That's where I feel
yeah.
like I'm at with myself now, and it's took 27 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard, but like, you eventually will there. I feel like life is like one big yellow brick road, but like, some people feel that like at the end of the yellow brick road, they're going to get all the missing pieces handed to them, but it's never ending.
That's not what life is about.
It's not like, do you get, it's not that like,
yeah,
it's never ending, and it's only you at the end of it. It's only going to be the biggest person that you can be at the end of it. Yeah. Eventually, all them pieces come to you. Like, true obstacles in life, and you'll find
true
it.
Celebration, true heartache, true heart. Like,
celebrate
that's
everything, because you are never guaranteed tomorrow, lads. So go to credit union and get 40 grand so you can be like me.
Literally. One thing, again, that I'm really curious about, and I'm sure there's a people that are a lot more curious than me about it. How in Ireland, because I know we're quite backwards and very slow moving with a lot mm-hmm. of things, how in Ireland do you go about starting your transition? Is it a thing that you go to your GP and have a discussion, or what way does it work?
So basically, a lot of GPs and a lot of family doctors don't have the necessary education and background in order to like deal with these kind of issues, and like sometimes like my GP still even asks me questions about stuff that she should really know, but she didn't learn it. She learned it out of a book in 1998.
She's in college
studying medicine. But if you want to go about transition and go down the hormone replacement route, you go to your GP. Your GP asks you to get a psychiatric referral. So I have 7.
Jeez.
I had to sit in front of 7 psychiatrists.
And you have to pay for these, don't you?
And pay for them. I was Skyping him and paying him €200 a session.
Jesus.
And I had 9 sessions for him to send me a letter. That's 1,800 quid I paid him for him to send me a letter saying, yes, this person suffers with not only a disorder of sexual development, but like psychologically gender dysphoria and so many issues regarding her gender.
So this man got to decide that for you for 1,800 euros.
You have to sit in front of someone and jump through hoops and make them believe, essentially. Yeah. So once that's done, once you get like, I think you need like 2 or 3, once you get them, your GP will send your information alongside them referrals to the only clinic in Ireland that deals with trans healthcare, and it's called Loughlin Sound, but St. Colum Kills Hospital. They are shocking. I'm not going to lie.
I'm delighted you're saying this on here, because I'd rather people know this going forward.
The wait list is 2 years. You have to jump through hoops. Like, you go in, they treat you like an experiment. Like, you're going in, they're like poking and prodding you and the whole lot. And they're like so short-staffed. Like if I run out of hormones, I can't get through to them.
Like, I remember you telling me this.
Yeah. So like, I'm forced to like literally go to my GP and bawl my eyes out. She's not really supposed to be prescribing me hormones, but she will, because I can't get through to Loughlin Town.
Well,
if I'm not taking me hormones, then like it's messing with my endocrinological cycle. Like, but like, yeah, the waiting list at the minute is like 2 years. You go after 2 years, and then they know that you've been socially transitioning for 2 years. So you have this appointment, and the first appointment, they don't give you any medication, man. Then I have a chat with you, they take your blood and they go, come back in 6 months. You go back in 6 months, they put you on like a testosterone blocker. So I'm on a testosterone blocker now called Zoladex. And
I was on that for my cancer.
Yeah. So now here,
funny enough,
it's Goosarellin it's called. But the funny thing about that is, if you read the instruction leaflet of Zoladex, it'll say for breast cancer remission, for prostate cancer, but will not say anything about the indications for transition. The same with the estrogen I take. On the leaflet, it won't say the indication for transitioning from male to female. It's so taboo. Like, even the hormone clinic that I go to, I go and sit in the diabetic ward with people with gangrene toes from not taking their insulin, and they're going in to get their blood sugars and all. There's no signs, no indication, nothing on their website to say that they deal with trans healthcare.
No mention of you people.
No mention of us people. And here I am sitting beside the 16-year-old woman called Eileen. She's got her blood for her diabetes, and I'm the only trans woman in the whole
clinic.
And
she's like, what are you here for,
what
love?
Are you here for? I'm like, ah, James, I'm here for me sciatica. But like, the testosterone blocker that you get after your second one, there's like 2 dosages. So like, the first one you get, you inject it into your stomach every 4 weeks. for the first three dosages, and then you go on a higher one, like a 12.6, and that's for 12 weeks at a time. It's 3 months, isn't it? But you inject that into your stomach and it stops your brain from producing testosterone. So you have to be on that for 12 weeks before you start your estrogen. So it kills the testosterone in your body, stops your brain producing it, then you start your estrogen. But like, I'm transitioning nearly 7 years, and I'm still probably 3 or 4 years away from my final surgery to finish my transition, because there's no surgery.
I asked you that about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Remember you were telling me like I'm going about this?
Yeah.
Like that's like about, like, 6 years now.
I've had it. It's a few bits and bobs done now, but like we won't go into that. But I am waiting. Yeah, absolutely ages. There's no surgeons in Ireland that can actually do sexual reassignment surgery. It's not a thing in Ireland. So if I want to have sexual reassignment surgery, I go to England is one, Belgium, Canada, or Thailand. Oh, but see, like, Thailand, it's expensive in Thailand, but it's also brilliant because they do that on a daily basis.
It's what their kind of key thing is.
But you know
what?
Do you know what's freaking me out? Like, there is one specific surgery that I have to go to England for. But once I go to England and have this surgery, when I come back to Ireland, no doctor is going to touch me if I have a complication when I come back to Dublin.
Oh, God, no, straight back
because it's not
over,
their work.
Yeah. Oh,
so
it's
here's
like
me,
teats.
Bob. Yeah, but like, that's me now, bobbing back and forward over from Holyhead, like, just because I have a little bit of spot now.
Well,
you know,
imagine
I mean?
You're bent up, say something did go really wrong, and you have to try and travel then while you're really unwell.
Like,
so you're not
like
allowed to fly
if
you're in rag order. Do you know that way?
But like, the process of the surgery, there's a new technique out recently.
Okay.
So the first technique for it, it's called a vaginoplasty. So they basically make a vagina for you.
Right.
And the fourth technique, the technique that's been tried and tested for years, is just your run-of-the-mill vaginoplasty. Mm-hmm. They get rid of the testicles, use the ball sack or scrotum as like the vaginal lips. They cut the head of the penis in half. One half is the clitoris, and then put the other half
inside. I've seen
the
video.
The nerve endings and stuff, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
That was tried and tested for years.
Yeah.
But if you want to have more depth and like self-lubricate, there's another one, and it's like...
Can you do that?
Yeah. So this one is called a... transrectal sigmoid vaginoplasty, I think it's called.
Wow.
Very good, Chip.
So they take a part of your colon and put that into the back of the vagina, and it self-lubricates.
Wow.
Which means, like, it has basic function of like a biological vagina. But the one that I'm going for, and the one that I'm literally buzzing about, is that, like, they take a part of your peritoneal, like your abdominal muscle.
Okay.
And they put that into the back as well. But it's like 7 grand more expensive, so it's costing about 19.5 grand.
Ah, well, if you're going for a girl, go
you
for
may
it.
As well,
you
go
may
for
as well
go
they take the shiniest, newest one, please.
The Argos catalogue. Remember with that? Go to the Argos, a little 6-digit number.
Have
that one, please. Yeah. But yeah, it's like the healthcare in Ireland is absolutely, absolutely ridiculous. Like, they prescribed me hormones here a couple of years ago, and my hormone levels were supposed to be between 300 and 500, and they were 1,200 and something.
You like a dog in heat?
Like a dog in heat, right? Like humping door frames. You know, like, that's so dangerous. Wood. Like, I was getting really bad headaches, nausea, vomiting. I got a blood clot in my shoulder. Nearly had
but
a stroke.
Goes to show how careless they were and what they were prescribing.
100%.
Because they don't care. No. But don't my favourite part of it all is people always say, them trans now, see all them looking for the attention. They're only transitioning for the attention. Like, do you think that 45 grand is looking for attention? Do you think that I am putting all this into my body, self-injecting, spending hours and hours and hours in waiting rooms? Do you think that this is all for a bit of crack and a bit of attention? Yeah. Are you well, Mary? Like, I just think it's bizarre. Yeah, it's all for the attention. If you see in the trouble that people that have gender dysphoria are like that, were born into sex, go through. I wonder, would you still be singing the same tune if it was your child, if it was your family members, and looked at the grief that you have to experience to be who you were born
to be?
It shouldn't be so difficult. Like, it really shouldn't be so difficult, especially in Ireland. But like, there also needs to be a little bit more like gender focused therapy.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, here's a conversation about therapy. Like, I've been to a couple of therapists in order to get a diagnosis as someone that suffers with gender dysphoria, but there's an awful lot of therapists out there that aren't very well versed in gender issues. So like, there's no point in me, let's say if I have an issue around my gender, there's no point in me going to a run-of-the-mill therapist if they're not going to be able to understand how to get to the root of the problem.
Yeah.
And like, the other therapists that they, like, the other therapists that are around that are kind of versed in gender issues are booked up to the hilt for like 3.5 years and could basically only take you out before they get into bed. Here, I'll give you a ring before I get into bed.
Yeah,
like, like, they're that busy. So I don't know, there needs to be a little bit more, there needs to be a lot more focus on the healthcare.
But even as regards to school systems, you will never hear like about gender dysphoria. You will never hear about the gender issues in your run-of-the-mill sex program that you learn about in school. I never heard of anything like that in my life. Now, that's gone back years and years and years. I'm not sure what it's like now, but I highly doubt that's being taught, because I know kids that are in secondary school are kids that were like that coming into secondary school that had no idea what trans was, or they're learning more on TikTok now than they are in pop school.
Like, even my niece, like, my niece is 9, and like, when I transitioned, like, she was 2, but like, she's like aware that I'm trans. Intersex, but like, I heard her the other day, like, she came over to my house and she was playing on like the landing on top of the stairs with her friend, and her friend didn't know me, but like knew me but like didn't know anything about me. And I'm walking from the front door into the kitchen, and I'm walking in the hall, and they're upstairs on the landing, and the little girl looked at me, and my niece kind of looks over and goes, "That's my auntie. My auntie used to be my uncle." Like, and I can hear her kind of like whispering to the little uncle, and I'm like, I love that. Like, she's trying to educate her about that, do you know what I mean? And it was just so sweet. And like, sometimes she'd ask me like little questions, and like, she asked me a question, like, how did you come up with Paige, the name Paige? So my birth name began with a P, and I'm about to throw a keyboard at Sean.
Look at Ian hopping up
over there, like, what's like, what is it?
Ding, ding, ding. But when I was 16, me and my mum sat down. I don't go down on a red drinker, but me and my mum got locked on wine when I was 16. And we looked at a bit of Collins Baby Dictionary and stuck with the same letter from my birth name, and we decided.
Page. Like a Kardashian now,
Like Kardashian, but come here, I lived as Jade for 3 months, the first 3 months of my children.
Wow.
J-A-Y-D-E. Never forget.
Of course it was J-A-Y-D-E.
It had to be different.
Yeah, like string fellows going around. It was one of them, make it stripper. Put a Y in.
Yeah, Crystal.
I'm going to call you that now, Crystal
Bean. Oh my God.
Crystal
Bean. No. This is like water for the temporary.
That's when you get your bit done.
Me Crystal Bean.
Come here, I have a question that I'm thinking here while we're talking.
Absolutely.
So when you have everything fully done, surgery done and dusted, obviously, how are you, like, are you still going to approach these men and say it?
I will tell somebody when I feel like it's necessary for them to know. Before that, it's no one's business.
No one's
so let's say for like this is a real taboo thing. Like, my mad has been like to me, you have to let them know. What if you meet someone and you go home with them and like have a one night stand and they find out about it and punch that off you?
That's fair. My main concern.
So valid, like, so valid. But like, if I have no intentions of going any further with a fella, why does that need to be to be said?
You know,
I do get
you.
Both sides of the argument. But like, I always thought in my head that like, once I go and like my transition's finished surgery wise, then that's it. That's not it.
It's
like,
not it.
I'm not going to wake up after surgery like in a hospital bed and be like, oh, it's me bleeding 7 times here, but I'm awake now, it's finished, everything's done. It's actually not.
But I don't believe that, like you said, if you're going to have a one night stand and you're fully transitioned, Paige, I don't think that you have to say to them, oh, by the way, like, you're not planning on starting a future with them. You're not
people
planning on
feel betrayed, so Carly. Fellas feel like that you have betrayed me. You've put a knife in my back. You lied to me.
Yeah, but it's not like you're asking them to tell me every single detail about your life.
Sorry, Miss Ceremony, after meeting you, can I get your PPS?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Should people get offended if you ask their sexual history before you sleep with them now? Like I'm so psychotic about like getting checked and stuff. Like, I'm really fucking strange about that. And people make you feel like a psychopath for asking that. Sorry, when was the last time like you were checked? Or like, people make you feel insane for that. That's just you looking after your safety. But you're not causing anybody any harm, especially, Paige, again, if you're fully transitioned, you're not putting anybody in harm's way.
But like, I find myself now recently like, not even wanting to go near like, or engage in relationships or engage in things with people anymore for the simple fact that like, what I'm doing with my transition, I'm not finished it yet. I'm finding it not hard, but like, I'm navigating it myself. I don't want to be in a relationship with someone and have to hold them hold their hand and have them feel the need to go and do this with me. And like, there's like 7 months recovery for my next surgery. Like, my next surgery is like huge, and there's such a long recovery period. I don't want them to be like feel like they have to sit by my bedside while I'm recovering. I feel like this is something I have to do by myself. Then I'll open myself up.
Don't do that, because I done that when I was sick, and that's wrong. So, and I'm actually getting a little bit upset now.
No,
it's not right,
because
when I was going through cancer, I would say like that, I didn't stop talking to people. Do you know what I'm saying? But I ripped myself off, like, and I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, I can't get to like anybody or let anybody get to know me or let anybody near me, because they don't deserve to have this put on them. No, it's not putting that on anyone. Again, you are who you are. I was who I was. If somebody wanted to get to know me in that state and wanted to be with me in that state, I should have, if I obviously was attracted back to them, giving them that opportunity and allowing myself to be happy as well. But I didn't, because I was just like, oh no, no, they don't deserve this. No, Paige, if someone loves you true and true and they want to be there with you and want to hold your hand voluntarily and want to be there for you, allow them. Only if you have a genuine connection. But don't be cutting things off and don't be saying things like that, because you deserve everything.
Yeah, but come here, like I have a very, very, very bad bad habit of liking fellas and going for fellas that I shouldn't and that are absolutely wrong. But like, I seen a TikTok today, and like, you remember on in Charlie and Chocolate Factory, he's like, good morning sunshine, the earth says
yeah,
hello.
Yeah, it's always the nice fellas.
It's always the nice fellas. And you have the fucking ick, like small little things like that give me the ick. Stuff like that, dirty fingernails, you know the rest.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff gives me the ick. But like, here's me after being away there for the last 3 days with a fella that I'm absolutely mad about, and I know he's mad about me. And
maybe
it's
listening, she's mad about it. And
yeah, you.
All right.
No.
I mean, know where you live. I know. No, I really don't.
I'm
going to
break
your
ass. But like, it's those kind of people that like you end up being falling for.
Well, Paige, that is it sounds like an inner thing that you have to work on yourself, because you're accepting the attention of these people. Come here, and I'm not sitting here on my high horse.
This feels like an intervention.
Yeah, no. I'm not sitting here on my high horse because I have accepted what I thought was love and what I thought was genuine likeness from people like this when it's not. Like that, love doesn't have to be complicated. Love doesn't have to be forced. If you want to be with me, you will be with me wholeheartedly, and it'll be through your own choice. Right. So.
Paige,
you deserve much more.
You deserve. You're the director of your own life. You can't change the past, but you can change how your play is going to be moving forward.
This is taking a huge turn now, lads.
No, well, the turn is getting turned off. So, Sean, can you tell the people that we are now live?
Now that we're finally live, because Ian got his head up, so that we can now absolutely go ahead and start putting suggestion boxes up. Everything you wanted, send us an email if you have several topics you want to talk about, and we will go from there.
Yeah, and you can contact us on the That's What I Heard podcast Instagram. Send us a little message and let us know what you want
literally
to hear.
Literally what I said, but yeah.
You said an email, you never said about the
page.
Because
we have the email on the page.
Yeah, but they can text the page, Sean.
Yeah, and they can email from
the
page.
Yeah, cool, well, I was just reminding them.
Yeah, well, you don't need to.
Well, I did.
Sit back down.
So here we are. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.